from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path here in Johnston proper.
Yes, you are.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Monday evening or Saturday evening. That's ridiculous.
Good stuff.
All right, here's the deal. Here's what we got coming up on the show tonight.
Hey, man, there's no coming back from that.
No, I know. We should bail on it.
We should start out.
We should bail on it. It's time to
let it roll. Live from the Path.
We can't be on Christian radio with those noises. Cows are lowing. Never mind. That's biblical. Lowing cows.
Yeah.
Well,
that's exactly what I was going for.
That's not Bible, though. That's the cattle are lowing something.
No, Booba's right. That's it's the same.
That's a hip lowing cattle. Thanks,
yeah.
Booba.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's the same.
That's what I'm going for.
All right, here's what we got going on the show tonight. All right. I found an article on, where's that? CharismaMag.com. The top 10 rudest things people do in church. And I'm going to walk through these, and I want to think. Question is: Have you ever done them? And do they really bother you?
You know, this actually struck me. I was actually got the opportunity to be up on the old stage at church this week, and I asked people if they read Christian blogs, and nobody does. Either that, or they won't admit to it, right? Because I was going to get to, hey man, stay out of the comment section of the Christian blogs.
Yeah,
it's like a sinful pool in there, you know.
Yeah,
and I said, you guys, and you're reading the Christian blogs. Anybody? And no one would agree that they read them. So that either means that no one reads them, or no one wants to admit to.
I think they know that there's troubles in there.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not saying there's not good content on Christian blogs. It's the comments that are bad. But I don't know. I thought there was more. I don't know. Christian literary doings going on. Apparently there's not.
Actually, I do wonder, for as much content as the church, the broad she church produces, how much people actually take it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very easy to look legitimate because you produce a lot of content, but I wonder how much people actually read compared to the effort that people put into, like, distributing Jesus content. Think of the amount of work. Most churches, vast majority of churches in the United States are under 100 people. Okay, most.
I'm going to assume that you have, that's true.
I don't know. I think it's like 70 or 80%, something in there. Like, most churches are under 100 people.
That sound right, Booba?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
So, anyway, think of how much effort, it takes a lot of effort to put a sermon together for Sunday, and you got guys that are doing music and stuff, and think of how much effort that guy puts in every week to do a sermon for 50 people. Or 30 people, 60 people, whatever, okay? So I wonder how much outside of that people produce blog content or Facebook posts. You know, there's guys that'll post scripture, or they post stories and stuff. And I just wonder how much people are actually interacting with that. And I don't mean just like, hey, I like it that someone posted Jesus content, but like that are getting something out of it, that read it and are enriched by it and their lives are impacted.
I don't know. That's actually probably a pretty good question because, I mean, like, for our purposes, we try to do that, right? And it mostly goes unnoticed,
yeah.
Swept under the rug, you know? In fact, we had what we called the Live from the Path social media push 3 weeks ago. No one noticed.
Yeah.
it was like a guy blowing on the ocean. You know what I'm saying? It really made no difference at all.
Yeah.
But like, that actually got, it got me thinking because I was going through my day and I thought, man, that'd be something nice to post. And it kind of reminded me of where I was at or something funny happened. And it really went completely unnoticed. Like, it didn't even matter. And so, like, there's way more influential people than us out there, you know, I mean, just waylaying the Facebook and the Twitter with just little things that happen and scripture references and whatever. In fact, I mostly pass right over scripture references when people put them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you find that to be universally true?
Yeah, I think that's generally true. And there's a few people where I'll read it because I feel like they are sharing something that means something to them. But I have to know the person to know that. But other scripture reference, I pass it by. Because, like, I don't know. Why did you do that? Like, why did you just throw that at me? Hey, I read something. Everybody gets it. I don't know. It's not wrong, right? There's nothing. And I've posted I've posted scripture before. It's not like I don't do it. But, like, I usually have a context. I usually don't put – scripture out there for no reason, because scripture on its own, it's personal. Like there's something about that stuff that connects with people individually, and I think our stories individually can be impacted by scripture and shared scripture the way that it kind of ties people's lives together. It doesn't do anything for anybody if I post something about like just a scripture that I'm reading without knowing the context in which I'm reading it. Now it doesn't change what the scripture means, right? But like I think it does help tie people together and yeah. Watch how that scripture kind of helps through those times or like provides guidance and safety and comfort during those times. And without that context, it's a billboard.
Well,
like, you just billboard.
You know, actually, I find more helpful is when and actually I've done this just a couple times, but like you can tell the difference between the way that people see generosity when they color it with a Jesus lens, right? Like I remember I posted something last year. There was this little girl. I was over helping her dad do something or whatever, and she had a bag of Skittles, you know. And she asked me if I wanted some Skittles. I said, I'll take a Skittle. And she goes, here, you can have some of the yellow ones. She had picked all the yellow ones out,
yeah,
and said, you can have one of these. I said, you don't like yellow, huh? She goes, no, they're my favorite. And like most people look at that and see what a kind little girl, right? But like I think what I posted on Facebook, I wrote, love like Jesus, right? Because it reminded me of the way that Jesus loves, like in a complete generosity. And I think it's those type of instances that hit me way harder than if you just post something randomly out of Galatians. You know what I'm saying? Like I like to see Christ's love in action, and like I like to see things actually happening, like the Bible in action. It's not like the Bible doesn't have things to say that have action in it, but I don't know, like when I see real life examples of Christ's love, most other people, if you don't know Jesus, you'd say that's just a nice little girl. And I'm like, wow, our God's a good God, right? Like yeah. that even a human would act this generous at, you know, 6-7 years old. Like, it's just amazing to me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I find those posts a lot more enriching and a lot more, edifying than just putting a Bible verse out there.
Yeah.
I'm normally not the guy who throws just Bible verses out there, but now that I know I would get reamed by the two of you for doing so, I'm going to make sure that I never do it.
I feel like I was very harsh with it, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I reacted monstrously.
You'd have to be right. You'd have to be a stubborn mule of a man to continue doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of stumbling dullard would post such a thing?
Who does just scripture with no context? What a jerk.
Here's the deal. It's like there are people where like that they post a scripture, and I because I know them, I know where that stuff's coming from, and it is edifying. But I don't know. Most of the time, the context in which you're reading it, I think, helps me connect more with what God's doing in your life. Because, like, I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
I think that sadly, on the social media that I've seen, there's a lot of self-gratifying when it comes to Jesus posts. From people that I see, you know, one post to the next, to the next, to the next, you really don't see them. And I'm not judging them or anything like that. I don't know them entirely, but you don't really see a Jesus living life kind of deal. And then you see a random Jesus post. And then the next one is like all riddled with cuss words and all this different stuff, talking about, honestly, like a picture of them doing drugs. And it just throws me off.
That's a bit intense.
Like, I'm not kidding. I see a picture of them doing drugs, and then a week later, I will see a Jesus post.
Wait, now the order is important there. That's good.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
Yeah, that's the way around. Then it's followed with another drugs post, and it's just like, man.
I literally have never had anyone on my Facebook post a picture of themselves doing illicit
apparently
drugs.
Apparently, I have the wrong kind of friends on Facebook because I see.
How do you know that? Did they
much.
Write like heroin on it or something?
No, like it's literally a picture of them with some form of paraphernalia in their hand.
Like smiling and pointing to it?
Yes. Like, yeah. Hey, this is what I do. Like, exactly.
That's bold.
It is incredibly bold.
Deuces.
And, yeah. I see on their Facebook where they work, and I almost want to just be like, hey, do you know this is going on?
Yeah. Hey, you might want to take like, where your workplace is on your Facebook.
You're going to post pictures of yourself. Everyone can see this on your – like, there's no privacy in this. I'm your friend, and I don't even know you.
That's true,
you.
Especially if you have the geotag on. It's like, at my house, you know, doing the drugs. Maybe not the smartest move.
Cops are
know?
Just like, oh, I wonder where they're at.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Anyway, watch how much scripture you post on social media.
Yeah, exactly. And paraphernalia.
I feel like the advice here is coming out wrong, but
it is.
Please,
but it
listen in context.
But look at all the people that get the Bible and the love of God straight backwards because they had just scripture thrown at them. Right, like they didn't get the full story. They didn't get the encompassing part of the Bible. Someone took a verse, shoved it down their throat, and said, "This is God." Right? And so, like, I'm not saying that Facebook, like, if you're going to Facebook or tweet a Bible verse, like, that's exactly the same. But I mean, the whole Bible's got to be in context. Like, the whole story of God and how you fit into it has to be in context. Otherwise, I mean, you can pick and choose parts out of the Bible that make God seem rather harsh. There's times when he kills people, and you go, I don't want anything to do with a God like that. And if you don't explain why or how or where his heart's at or what's going on, then, yeah, you got the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah. I've literally never seen anybody post from Job.
No, that's I posted from Job last week, actually, now that I think about it. The ESV changed over to gird your loins to stand dressed like a man. What is it? Stand like a man? I don't know. What was it? Yeah. It was lame. It wasn't near as powerful as gird your loins. Like
it was stand like a man, if I remember the post.
Stand like a man.
Nah.
That's not loin girding.
I ain't afraid of that. I'm not sure if I had to do an arrow at, like, precisely where the loins begin and end that I would have it correctly. So, like, I would afraid I would not have properly girded myself anyhow.
I mean, should I get a cardboard box or something?
Is it pantaloons? Like, is that enough?
You are much more ready with dress like a man.
Is it knees to elbows? Or I'm not sure. What's the biblical loin?
What's loin? Oh, man.
Is the Lord impatient if you haven't girded enough? I said gird all of your loins.
God just sitting there like, okay, I'll wait. You're almost there.
Dress for action. That's what it said. Dress for action. Like a man. That's what it said.
Loins like a, like that's dual. It's not gird your loin. It's legs?
I'm not sure.
Dress for action.
You're listening to Life from the Path on lifefromthepath.org. We're going over the 10 rudest things that people do in church.
All right, here we go. You ready? You want to hear a couple of them?
Yeah,
ready. Oh, okay. Other things I want to be thinking about. If you're listening to the show, if you've heard the show before, the other thing that I want you to be thinking about is I want to know the top moment and lowest moment on your Life from the Path experience this year. Hopefully the ones in studio are different than the ones out studio.
Yeah, I got a low one that's out of studio. It was kind of embarrassing.
Everybody, okay.
A low one in studio.
So far, everyone has thought of the low point.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so be thinking of that. We'll try to hit those a little bit later in the show. Then we'll do some advice on Dear Life and the Path. And before we get to the big annoying things, let's get out of the way to that. I do love me some Bob Eisenlauer from the Eisenlauer team. He helps keep Life from the Path on the air. You go to EisenlauerTeam.com. He can help you buy or sell your home. It's still a good time to do it, I think. Your Bob would know better than me. I don't know. Yeah. I don't do real estate. But he's been on the show a few times. He's a great guy to have in here. He's a great supporter of the show. And he's done some real estate stuff for both Mike and I. And he's just a good guy. So get a hold of him. He can help you out with that. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com. At the very least, shoot him an email. Give him a phone call. Give him a text and say, hey, Bob, thanks for supporting Life from the Path and keeping us on the air. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnston, for all your critter needs.
Yeah.
Is there something that happens at the beginning of the year where, say, now is the time to do X for your dog?
I think they shave horse hooves beginning of the year so they're ready for action.
Yeah. Anyway, now's the time. Do they do that at the Westfield?
No.
Oh, shoot.
I feel like they should.
I was just now enlightened to how little I know about horses. I didn't realize that you shave their hooves.
Yeah. That's why you're not in the horse shaving business, Booba.
Apparently.
If you want to look good, I guess.
I'm not their demographic.
But dress for action.
It is 2014 is the year for you to get yourself caught up. You skip the year on the dog shot. You thought, he seemed to do all right. He's not going to catch
We won't rally. Let him around other dogs or
yeah,
people.
Yeah, maybe he'll be fine. Maybe he's getting a little overweight, and you're like, oh, it just happens. Or he's been limping around. You thought, it's time to get caught up on that stuff. Take him in. Westfield will help you out. They'll take a look, tell you what needs to be done, and they're the good folks to do it. They'll take great care of your pets. And to go to Westfield Veterinary Hospital here in Johnston. Here we go.
I'm ready.
10 top 10 rudest things people do in church. Hold on. I'm trying to see where this. It was the list was compiled from a Facebook post. Asked to.
Oh yeah, that's trustworthy.
Friends to share. Okay, number one, talking during a service.
Guilty.
Guilty.
What? Now, it's not unless I'm making critical remarks about the sermon. In a constructive way.
I talked during the service. Do they mean like, ow? I mean, are we talking about an overly harsh shh, shh, shh? Or like,
hey,
amen.
We need.
People do that. That's all right. I don't care if people talk.
I don't think it's rude.
Yeah. I mean, if you're carrying on a conversation, that's weird.
Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about, is someone in the back actually carrying on a conversation.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Ben. Haven't seen you in a while.
What do you think of this sermon? Ooh, stinko.
Did he just say undies?
I swapped out the Swiss Miss for some Ovaltine this year. What are your thoughts?
Otherwise, as long as you don't overdo it, like, people can talk. You're not the king of anything.
No. I mean, you're here's the thing. Like, when you show up to church, you're there to do business with the Lord. And so, I mean, if that's how you conduct business with the Lord, then you personally might be one of the afraid of what you got going there. But I mean, as far as it goes, you know, being rude in any type of manner, listening to the service, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah. All right. Next item is texting or surfing the web during a service. One person mentioned seeing people playing video games on their phone.
Poor form.
I agree.
I totally accidentally turned on Candy Crush.
I totally accidentally turned on Candy Crush.
The apps on my phone, my Bible is, I'm not making this up, my Bible is right next to Candy Crush, and I didn't have the volume down, so like three people heard Candy Crush come on my phone in a sermon like 3 weeks ago.
And then talked about it during the sermon.
Yeah, exactly. I turned it off real quick. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no. I forgot to turn the sound off.
When I was younger, absolutely. Yeah, I'd play video games. I'd surf the web. I'd Facebook, all the good stuff.
Guilty. I'd be Facebooking. Now, here's the deal. Is it different because I sit through two services? Mm. It's the same service.
I suppose it depends on who's watching you.
I'm in the back.
I watch you.
Yeah, okay. I do it every once in a while. Like, I'll check it. Because sometimes it's not very often, but sometimes it's someone like from the church sending me something.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping, you don't get caught on a Facebook doing.
How will
nothing.
I know? How
we
will I know
look
unless
and he's
I catch
on Farmville
it?
On his Facebook.
I feel like that's wrong. I don't Facebook. I don't social media at the
what's
church.
What's the difference between that and talking or looking at something else?
It's the same. It's the
or
same.
Reading the bulletin while the guy's talking. What's the difference? Yeah. You're not paying attention.
Yeah, I do that.
I don't know. All you're doing is making judgments on what you're reading and paying attention.
What
to.
What the distraction
yeah,
is?
What if I read another Christian blog? That no one reads.
Well, it's not like you don't have special. Is everybody? Let's read your bulletin now. Then you
yeah,
know
you
I mean?
Don't ever give us time to read the bulletin, administration man. We
take,
just want to
take it with
the
you.
Information.
Take it with you during the week. It's on the net.
I don't want you eating up my time during the week. I got Facebook to do.
You already get a couple hours on Sunday. You're not getting any more time.
I'm just saying that's a pretty stern judgment to say.
It doesn't say take up your cross and read the bulletin.
I don't
There's
care
some good
if,
stuff in there.
I don't care if you don't listen to the sermon as long as you're reading other church related items. It's all right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's right on.
All right. I saw a guy that was talking about a dude that was checking up on the football scores during Sunday service.
I haven't done that.
You know, here's what I almost wonder. Like, I mean, you know whether you're doing it with an earnest heart or not, right? If there's a reason, if your wife's sick and you're trying to figure out whether, you know, the kids are coming, so you're trying to make sure you check the text messages or whatever, I think that's totally cool. But, like, if you really would rather not be there, you might just want to ask yourself why you're there.
Just head out.
You know, it's time for you to go. And here's the deal. If it's the one Sunday out of all year and you're like, I just really want to stay home or watch this football game, just do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not church police. They're going to show up. If the relationship with you and the Lord are fine, you're not running and you're not scared and you're not mired in disobedience and you're just like, hey, I'm going to stay home this Sunday. Stay home. I feel like it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, like, when did it become the thing to do to keep up the wrong appearances?
Yeah.
Like, I want to keep up appearances doing dumb things during church.
Yeah, I want people to know that I showed up here and watched football score. Right? I want to do both of those things.
Here's the
deal.
People, so having had the experience of preaching before, like, I've had people in the front row on their phone the whole time. Whole time. And I'm like, I can...
Like,
I can,
pretty obviously not reading their Bible.
Yeah, no. I mean, whamming around, right? You don't... It didn't take that long to type in Obadiah. You know what I'm saying?
They probably spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
Not obey me. No. Stupid autocorrect.
Sit somewhere else. I can see you.
Yeah.
And I don't care. It's not like I think I'm that entertaining that you know, that no one will do anything else while I speak. But for heaven's sakes, get some class, man. Go move to the back.
Yeah.
Act like you got to take a whiz.
If you're going to be a con man, at least be good at it. You know what I'm saying? You're like a bad bank robber.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, take it daily. Faith about what was that? Dead. I'm just tweeting it. Tweeting
here's,
it, boy.
Here's the deal about social media, and this is true with not only when you're in church, but with other folks in general, right? Like, if you have to interrupt a face-to-face conversation to answer social media, you're doing it wrong, right? This person, the person next to you, has taken the time to be physically located next to you to be in your company, and you're like, hold up.
Yeah.
Get a text.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? That's backwards. You have that backwards.
Right. Ignore the technology. It would be the same as if someone delivered you a letter, and like you were talking to someone and then started responding to the letter right when it was delivered.
You opened the envelope, read it, left him hanging, got out your pen, dipped it in the quill, and begun to write a rebuttal.
Dear Grandma. Yeah. Just a moment, dude.
Especially if it was any more than L-O-L. Mail it away. I mean that. I mean, socially, when you look at it, that it's just awkward, right? You get, don't put people on hold who are physically next to you. Just put the technology on hold and answer them later.
All right, here we go. Number four or three: sleeping or snoring during a sermon.
Yeah, guilty.
I feel like they should call this list the biography of Booba.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm not a good churchgoer. Trust me. Yeah. I've passed out in church and snored my way through it. And Dan Hudson, our pastor, has come up to me and has called me out on it.
They've met Dan. He's on the show.
Yeah.
I'm just double checking.
My friend Dan.
Just cover back. You know, what if someone's new on the show?
Pastor of our church.
You know there ain't no new people watching the show.
Well, I am here for the what ifs, okay?
I'm here for the common man.
So, new listener, just in case you didn't know, one of our co-hosts, Dan Hudson, is the pastor of the church that I go to.
Yeah, I've done that. Oh, most of it, I think I had like a rough night the night before. I used to play in a band, and we'd get in like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I always decided that if I was going to stay out at 3 or 4 in the morning playing with a band in a bar, that I couldn't slough off church.
That couldn't be
that.
The excuse
right.
to you. Yeah,
I couldn't use that as an excuse why I didn't go to church. So I always went, and halfway through the sermon, I was passed out. I tried not to, but I wasn't very slick about it. But I'd fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that.
Never.
No, I don't sleep.
Nope. Yeah. It's you and me.
Yeah. No wonder me and Booba sit next to each other. He wears an arm pillow strapped to his t-shirt.
Here we go. Number four, clipping fingernails during church. So there's commentary here.
Look at me.
I don't know. You might have done it.
It said, I was amazed at how many people listed this offense. One person said his church's sound technician clipped his nails routinely during the sermon, and it was amplified over the loudspeaker.
Oh.
Hey man, there's nothing gross about clipping your toenails. Everybody's got
it. No, it doesn't. Everyone's got a nose, but you don't need to be picking it in front of everybody.
I just feel like if I were to hear an amplified sound of someone clipping their fingernails or toenails, that just makes me queasy. I don't know why.
Where is it not acceptable to clip your fingernails?
Anywhere but home.
Yeah, the toilet.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I mean, maybe a public bathroom if you're in the bathroom.
What about mass transit?
Like no, on the bus. Weird.
Yeah, the problem is catching the leaving.
I'm saying you've thought through this. You can catch it.
Oh.
Let's say you got a hairnet that you've kind of taped around.
I don't know. I think
your gloves are contained within
a
hairnet.
Yeah, here's the deal. If you rigged up a system on where they don't go flying around, yeah, I think you can do it anywhere.
No, man. If you put that much time into rigging up a system for your
kudos to you, friend.
Yeah.
No, man. Do that at home.
Why?
It's just weird.
What's it to you?
It's I don't know why.
Yeah, you want to waste the 45-minute trip on the bus? You want to get something done?
Yeah.
Read Obadiah and clip your toenails.
Read Obadiah and clip your toenails on the public bus.
No one wants to hang around with Dracula. You know what I'm saying? Clip them up.
Yeah, that's why you do it at home.
No, I don't have time.
It's personal hygiene.
No, I'm busy.
No.
Okay, fine.
It's very similar to people like filing their nails. They do it everywhere.
Yeah.
Always.
Let me flip this way then. Well, what about like other hygienic things? Like what about like brushing your teeth?
Right on.
Do people do that at work?
Yeah.
It's a public restroom. They brush them up. What do I care?
Yeah. I don't know. It just weirds me out. I feel like stuff should be done at home.
That's why your fingernails are long.
He's inconveniencing me?
My breath is fine, and so are my fingernails.
Stop brushing your teeth. I'm taking a whiz in here. Like, what am I offended about?
I'm not saying I'm offended. It just weirds me out for some reason. Like,
I think that's a personal hang-up.
I did it one time, but that's because I just didn't have time at home, and I ran to, or excuse me, I slept in a vehicle in the parking lot of my work.
Yeah, you got bigger problems than that toothbrush.
Yeah.
And I had a toothbrush. I even went to one of my managers. I'm like, hey, is it okay if I brush my teeth in the bathroom?
Man, you are the world's like dorkiest employee.
Yeah.
I really am.
Hey,
no idea.
Can I use the company stapler for my own personal stapling needs? I feel like I got to send this mortgage payment in, but I don't have any staples at home.
I have to go onto a search engine to find a cool background, but I really want a cool background on my computer. Is that okay?
Jeez. Can I brush my teeth in the corporate bathroom?
Jeez.
Looking back on it, it may have been a stupid question, but I just, at the time, I was just like, I don't want someone coming into this restroom, seeing me brushing away at my teeth, and going,
rule breaker.
You'll never guess what Johnny Hygiene was doing. Brushing his teeth, gross.
For shame. How dare you brush your teeth?
I think he might have been girding his loins, but I'm not sure where they start and stop.
I'm not really sure where the loins are. He might have been brushing his teeth, but I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I'd clip toenails.
Yeah, break a rule or two, Booba. Don't do it during church, though.
What's the difference?
People are quiet. You can, like, that's obvious. You can hear a pin drop in there.
Can you do it during worship?
People are singing, you do it. Definitely.
Yeah.
You're okay with talking in church and chit-chatting, but not clipping your toenails.
Yeah, especially if you can clip it during the beat, like their Jesus Messiah, clip, clip,
clip yours in.
Yeah, yeah. You got to wait for the time.
So you have to be musical yeah. at clipping your toenails and fingernails for it to be
acceptable.
Then
joining, toenails, yeah, yeah. that should be way
Yeah, down. Toenails is out because you don't get your feet out. No. There's no reason to be taking your feet out.
All right, man.
Unless it's summertime that, and you're wearing flip-flops.
Now, that's the thing. Is that yeah. like same thing at work. I shouldn't come in and have your foot over the sink. Ugh. Like clipping your nails. That's gross.
Hey, man, Johnny Rule Breaker over here yeah. is going to do that. Hey, everybody.
There we go. Number five, there we go. Top 10 rudest things people do in church. 5, answering a ringing phone in church.
You better answer it. It gets more embarrassing the more rings it has.
I think they're specifically talking about not the person that mutes it, but the person that goes, hello, and then collects their 3 kids in their purse and heads out.
No, Jenny, I know, no, it's all right.
I got time.
I'm a church. What's up?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to clip my fingernails here. No, you got to turn it to 350 and let it warm up. I've heard that conversation. Wait, I had a gal sitting in a row in front of me, picked up her phone. She's like, no, I got time. No, you got to preheat that oven.
What did they do? They just threw it in?
That's true. I never thought about what happened on the other end. Like, I put the turkey in the oven and nothing happened.
Stupid thing, no cook. I'm never buying from Fairway again.
Ready to eat, it says. Whatever.
It's been in there for like 14 hours.
I took a stiff bite out of it. That's a cold chicken.
By the way, I feel sick.
Like really, really sick.
Here's the deal. If you have to answer it, just don't say anything. I mean, unless you're 10 rows out, you know what I'm saying? Just walk out. I'll walk out. I'll usually like try to tilt it towards where someone's talking so they can tell I'm in somewhere and they don't hang up the phone. And then I'll answer when I get outside the door. If I had to answer it then. But I, you know, hey, this is Ben. Just hold on a second. I'm trying to get out of the church. Yeah. Like, they can wait. What kind of impatient guy that you know calls, hears the phone pick up and goes, hello? Well, this is crap. And then it hangs up.
You get 1 second of complimentary hello, and you have wasted my time.
I feel like that's not happening.
I'm officially going to adopt that practice. My time is much more valuable than giving you 2 hellos before I hear anything.
Hello?
You get 1 and done.
Hey, Booba, jerk.
Ring, pick up, hello? Nothing? Hung up on. I know you had that phone up.
That's an impatient dude.
That's terrible.
That phone is answered. You better answer me now. Hello? Done.
Yeah, I just silence that beast and act like it didn't happen. Or you could do what Ben says, but I mean, like literally you get people picking up the phone and they're like, hey, Greg, what you doing? No, I'm talking to Jesus. No, that's all right. I head out in the hall. No problem, you know.
It's just communion. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. People are just reflecting on their lives. Yeah, the cell phone, yeah, it's got to be on vibrate. And if you do get a call, if you get to put it on vibrate, I just silence that beast and, you know, accept a couple glares because you're going to get them and then just move on with your day.
I almost always have it on vibrate just so I don't forget to turn it off. I mean, whatever.
Same here.
Yeah. All right, number 6, rudest things, top 10 rudest things done in church. 6, constantly getting up and leaving the auditorium, presumably to use the restroom.
Hey, man.
These guys are harsh.
Yeah.
That's fine.
What have you got business?
Now, here's the one thing that does irritate me about that. I don't mind if you got to get up and go. That's no problem. But, like, there's people that don't mind the door very well, and it's a loud door. And so they'll go out, like, 5 times, and they'll literally slam a door that does not slam. It, like, it self-closes. And so a door that should go and stop, you hear, go, 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 go. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, if you need another donut, dude, just go get a donut. You don't have to make a parade out of it, you know? Just let the door go and do its own thing. But if you can mind the door,
This is ridiculous. Like, the assumption to say, well, hey, look, that guy keeps getting up. I assume he's using the bathroom. Like, that's the part that bothers someone?
Stay in there.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't
understand. Use the bathroom on your own time.
That's dumb.
This is God's time. You don't use the restroom.
What do you care why they're getting up?
See,
how unfocused are you at church that you immediately take notice of every single person leaving and then start making assumptions of what they're doing rather than actually paying attention to the churches you're in?
Yeah.
Why don't you pray for them? If they're in the bathroom 6 times in a 30-minute time frame.
Dear Jesus, Lord. There's something wrong with that guy. Yeah.
He's got troubles.
There's something going on with Billy over there. He's left the auditorium like 4 times now. I know you know this, but can you take care of that?
All right. 7, walking out of a service early, especially during a prayer.
That's the best time to go.
Yeah, no one else. Yeah, because the only guy that knows number 7 is the guy that's not praying.
That's right.
guilty. Yeah, they are guilty.
It's funny because I see it's weird because I usually play I play the piano for communion, you know, and so when everyone's doing their communion prayer, there's like eight people that refuse to participate in the prayer.
Yeah,
and like I got to pay attention, so I got my eyes still open because I'm playing the piano, and so I end up looking around. And I'm like, why aren't you guys participating in this prayer? You know, it's a everyone has to participate in communion prayer, and then my mind starts to wonder, like, what's wrong with you? Why you come here? You know, at least put your head down. You know,
yeah, pretend. Johnny Stone Cold, who like refuses to put his even like act like it.
The weird part is it's unfair, right? Because I judge them harshly in my mind, unfairly, like a religious snob or something.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I'll go up and talk to him later, just like passing in the hall, like, how you doing? I'm like, you know, prayer during communion. I'm sure, but I have two eyes. You know, you know, like, don't try to fool me. I'm on to you. It's not that big of a deal. You know, it's just not.
No, it's not that big of a deal. Although, you know, we talked about once whether it made sense. A lot of times prayer is the transitional period, right? People that come on and off the stage, they do it during prayer. And we thought, you know, does that feel like that's kind of sending the wrong message, you know?
Like, well, it's a good thing you're all praying. We're going to sneak up on the
right.
stage.
We use prayer to hide things.
Yeah. No, that's true. You're like bend down in prayer and you look up and there's like 20 extra people on stage.
Yeah,
because certain people in the church, important folk, get to move during the prayer.
Other folks have to hold tight.
Yeah.
You shut your eyes. You're not important.
Hold the line, Chuck. Other people are walking. Not you today.
Keep praying. They're not here yet.
That's true. The lights dim or they change color and suddenly there's one guy was on stage. Now he's gone.
And you hear
there's a prop.
You hear like a shuffle going on. There's people moving over and you're like, and all because what? You're putting on like a show so that people don't like wait till after the prayer and they're like, oh man, we had to wait 30 seconds for all these people to get on the
right.
stage.
We can't have people see us changing the band out. They'll be like, the band walks on their own.
They don't just appear? I thought, I closed my eyes for prayer and then
you know
they're
what?
Just there.
We're so stupid. I mean, what? Who do we think we're fooling? Everybody knows the band walked up there and everyone knows that they walk off.
It disappeared into that curtain.
We don't
happened?
Want people to see it or something?
Yeah, like you're hiding it. You're saying, like the people in the crowd just can't. They can't handle this amount of times. Like, well, is this going to be a long transitionary period until the worship time?
Because nobody wants to watch Chuck get off the stage. This is really embarrassing how stupid we are. We put way too much effort into this.
Well,
you know?
Did they go behind the curtain? I didn't see him go. What's happening?
Yeah. What else is behind that curtain?
Wait a minute.
There must be a side door. Shoot.
There was a band up there.
I should have
prayed. I closed my eyes. Now they're gone. And I closed my eyes again. The pastor's there. What is happening?
I should have used that side door when I had to go to the bathroom five times.
Then no one would have noticed. No one knows where the band goes.
So that's the escape route.
They must clip their fingernails back there.
Yeah, I think that's what were we talking about?
Walking out of a service early, especially during a prayer. You know what? Get over yourself. You don't know people's deal. Maybe they got stuff going on. Maybe they're going out praying with somebody.
Yeah,
just pay attention.
I've done that before.
Yeah,
I've religiously got upset at somebody who was talking during like a sermon or prayer or whatever, and they got up to leave, and I was mad at them, and then like they were actually ministering to somebody for Jesus, and I was never more embarrassed and humbled by that entire experience.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's better just shut your mouth.
Yeah, just leave it be.
Let things happen.
Worry about you.
Here we go. Number 8 of 10 rude things that happen in church, letting babies cry incessantly in the service.
That's great. I love it.
No.
What?
Distracting.
Why do you love it? What? Like, I can understand, like, not having a say on it, but loving it?
No, I double down. I love it.
The Wait, Lord there's is... no reason for a baby to cry incessantly unless they need something. So, I feel like that, I mean... Something could be
No, that's
done.
True. If you're like back in the back pinching the kid every 30 seconds just to rile him up, that's wrong.
I think there's the incessantly is probably the line, right? Like, I like to hear kids in service. There's life in there. Everyone else is dull. kids make things entertaining. A kid firing up a cry, that's totally cool. People that like give glaring looks to ladies when their kid pops off a cry, that's embarrassing. Control yourself.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's not like they like... It's not like they're going after the kid and causing that problem. You should be ashamed of yourself if you stare at a woman whose kid is crying. Like, your kid never cries.
How dare you have a child and let them cry.
Live and grow
You'd
up.
You'd be surprised, though. A
the
lot
Lord
of, like,
doesn't like
older
children.
Women, after they've you know, gone through their baby phase, they're very judgmental.
Yeah, that's yeah, my kids never did that.
Mm-hmm. My kids were little angels. Right now, they're even in jail. They don't bother nobody.
They breastfed themselves, even.
They don't cry, church.
As soon as they got to be 12, they bought their own breast on the internet. Because they had a job, part-time.
It's not cool. It's not cool. However, there is a point. Like, here's the deal. I will heist my kid out of there directly. You know, if they're not done whining around for, like, 5 seconds, I'll take them out. Because, I mean, they're distracting me. And so I'm not getting anything out of it. The least I can do is kind of take him out. I can't. Here's the thing is, like, when you try to keep your kid, sometimes it's important to keep your kid in a social situation and try to deal with it there, because you've given them some significant power if every time they do something, you leave the situation, because now they can have, but, like, that's when they're older, right? If they're a baby, some things just need to be handled where I can use a full voice, where I can do certain things, where I can say certain things, where I can walk around, whatever, without causing an interfering with anybody.
You can threaten a spanking without getting looks from others?
That is correct.
I will have a spanking to you.
No, you'll go breastfeed yourself. go
breastfeed yourself. This is the weirdest thing I can
think of. It's in Galatians.
Clip.
Paul says.
Clip. Clip. All right, here we go. Number, I'm almost done with this list. Number 9, chewing or smacking gum. What? Hold on. Anecdote. One friend from Puerto Rico said he's particularly annoyed when people chew gum like a goat. What?
I personally have goats, and my goats are pretty demure when they chew. Very sophisticated. In fact, when they chew, they go chomp, chomp, bubble yum, and then they chomp more. They're pretty sweet. Yeah. Wow. I have never heard
your
someone.
Goats are crazy.
I've never heard anyone chewing gum in
neither
church. I never even noticed it's an issue. I mean, it's not like they're blowing like 80s pop star Tiffany bubbles with this gum, you know, pop. I just never seen it as being an issue.
That's a pretty rough character who's doing that.
Yeah.
You got to know that you're annoying people if you're chewing gum that loud.
I don't think it's a deal.
No. I don't. Not guilty.
Guilty, yeah.
Pass.
Jera, guilty.
I'm just laughing. You guys are okay with toenails, but not with bubble gum.
I said fingernails.
Yeah.
Clip.
To the beat.
Clip.
No, I would be very annoyed with bubble gum, but that's just me. I don't like the same noise over and over and over again, or like tapping the foot a lot over and over again.
Sorry about that. I do that a
it's
lot.
Always you.
It's all them drug pictures you post on a Facebook.
Yeah.
It's the paraphernalia.
I hope they don't find me.
Right after some scripture.
Yeah, a guy smoking a doobie under the sign on his wall that says, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
Lamentations 2:11.
After smoke I serve it up two of these."
You can just see that guy searching every 420 verse he can find in the Bible looking for something relevant.
Yep.
Something's got to be good.
Here we go. 10, the final one. Ooh, public display of affection. One person complained about a man and wife who enjoy giving each other back rubs during worship. I like his connotation. They enjoy it. What?
I kind of find it endearing.
I've seen a lot of people do it at even in our church.
Yeah, I find it endearing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not outright public, you know, look at us affection. It's just simple. I love you. You love me. Let's hang out. Listen to the Lord's word. And whatever. Most of the people that I see doing it are people that I know for a fact would just as well do it when they're sitting on the couch watching TV. You know what I'm saying? It's not a public anything. It's just how they love on each other.
Yeah, they're not like standing up and putting a towel on their arm and squirting the oil out.
They're laying in the aisles in between the pews. Just
Does anybody have any avocado cream? Avocado cream. Clip. Clip.
We don't allow that here. What do I do with the hot rocks? I brought from home.
I'm so glad that was their explanation of public display of affection. It was just like a back rub. I didn't know where they were going to go with that, and I'm very excited that it...
That seems not offensive at all.
Well, what are they making out in the church?
That's what I was thinking. I'm just like, I'm really hoping that he didn't say public display of affection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this man says, I once observed a couple just making out in the back of church.
It's they were necking back there in the third row. Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
I told everybody.
The kid was crying next to him. They were doing fingernails.
The phone was ringing. One of them was chewing gum.
This row is just the row of annoyance.
Never go over to the Douglases for dinner. They have no tact.
Sheesh.
Hi, this is Douglases. Jerk. I've never seen that to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm for it. I mean,
you're not only don't think it's offensive, you are for it.
No,
happening.
No, you know what? Kiss your wife in public. Hold her hand. Give her hugs.
That's fine. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
What are you against?
Yeah. Just,
I'm just glad it wasn't like a couple was making out in the back of church.
It wasn't.
That's why I said I'm glad it's not.
Well, then agree with Ben.
Do you think the Lord is against it? Making out during church?
I mean, probably not.
I mean, it's a distraction to others, but I mean.
I don't think the Lord's directly saying that he's against it, but I don't think that's something that needs to happen.
According to you, religious man, what other rules can we follow outside the Bible for you?
I'm not saying this is a rule. I'm saying this is my own personal thought.
I'm a Pharisee, Troy. No making out in the church.
No making out in the church, and that is a rule.
Ahem.
I can find some random obscure verse to make it sound like that's not okay.
Please don't touch my tapiary.
You get one hello.
All right, those were the 10. There were a couple other ones. There are other infractions mentioned in the poll include pushing people to the floor while praying for them.
What? Tackle prayer.
Remember, charisma magnet.
Prayer violence is out. I agree.
It's not happening to me.
That's too much.
Totally for this. I'm going to run up to someone that I'm praying for. Just tackle them. Lord.
Putting the healing oil in an air blaster.
Hey, stop running. I want to pray for your crying baby.
I've never seen that go down. Go ahead.
Two, saying amen 100 times during the sermon.
No, I like it when you groove stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I do wonder if sometimes we don't understand the words correctly. People say things like hallelujah and amen, and I'm not sure they understand what it means. Like, the word amen means may it always be, right? May it always be this way. And so people will sometimes will say things, will say like, and you are dead in your sin, and someone will go, amen. Like, that's not right, buddy.
You might have waited for the big finish. Yeah. You kind of jumped in early.
You should hold off on how you use that.
May it always be.
What if I use non-churchy words like, yeah, buddy.
I'd like to see it.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like.
I love it.
Number three, taking change from the offering plate. That's why we do a box.
Has that been
I want someone to put a fiver and then the next person take the fiver right out. Like, I want that to happen in church.
I
want to
put a Jackson in, but I'd like to have a Lincoln back.
Here's the deal. What I always thought would be cool, that like we don't pass the plate. We have like a box and people drop stuff in the box. But like, if we pass the plate, I feel like my position would be like to take a penny. Here's the deal. If you were gonna steal it. Like, if you were willing to take that, I'm giving you my permission to take it.
No, oh, well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're willing to come in here and steal from the offering plate, I'm going to assume that you need it and take it with you.
Yeah. I'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at it. I don't know.
I guess it's all right.
I guess there's really no point in arguing. So, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm on it.
Because you're wrong or because I'm so right, it's dangerous?
No, I just... I think that there are people that don't really need it that would take it. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, that's generally how people work.
Right.
Not so everyone has to take a penny.
Opening them up to that.
And do you know how many people leave a penny? Like, there's one guy that leaves 6 pennies and 6 guys that take the penny from the tray. That's how the world functions.
And we're okay with that.
You're not, but I am. That's how it lies.
Apparently so. Yeah.
I shave with olive oil.
What?
You got to live your life.
What?
It might be time to move on.
Hold on.
What does that do with anything?
Number four, swearing in church. I feel like that's, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's bad.
Faux pas. Number five.
What? I think that's all right. What? It depends on who's doing it, right? You got a guy that doesn't know Jesus here, and that's just how he talks. Love on him. What, are you going to get mad at the dude?
Yeah, I'm not sure it'd be make my top 10, swearing in church. Like, how rampant is this?
I've heard a couple people swear at church. It's just the way that they talk. They've lived a life apart from Christ. It's not even that swearing is necessarily makes you not a Jesus man. I mean, you might if it's coming from the pulpit, maybe you might have some problems here. But, like, I mean, there are people coming off the streets, and they don't have a relationship with Christ. What do you expect? Love on them. Maybe swear back. Make them feel comfortable.
Five, drinking beverages during the entire service.
Guilty.
What?
Yeah, I do
that. Why is that a problem?
I bring it because I don't want to go out and have to go get breakfast halfway through the
service. I don't understand why that's
Yeah, that's fine. Why is it a problem?
Why they have an issue with it?
I drank a jug of apple juice at church on Sunday. And
okay, now that's outrageous. You don't need to drink a whole jug of it. Why don't you just drink a regular amount?
Yeah, I would.
Because all I had was a jug.
That's excessive. You're embarrassed.
But they gave me this whole jug. What am I supposed to do? Drink half?
Save it?
Drink half later? That's outrageous.
How do I save this?
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. You can catch us every week, every Monday night here at livefromthepath.org for the live show. Also, Saturday nights at 7 p.m. on 99.3 KTIA. And you, like I said, during the week, you can catch the show at livefromthepath.org. You can sign up for the podcast. You get the free audio. It's also longer. The normal show on KTIA plays for about an hour. You can generally get another hour, 15 or so, out of the show if you get on the podcast. So
right,
if you like the show and the free bonus content, the podcast is the way to go. Go ahead, Mike.
Dear Live from the Path, my wife and I are starting to hate our older daughter. After dropping out of college, she moved home to save some money. Since then, she has lived as she pleases. She isn't saving money and is contributing nothing toward her support. We have given her a deadline to move out and we'll hold to it. but her slovenly ways, sullen attitude, and disregard for rules have created such a toxic atmosphere we're afraid our relationship is forever changed. Abby, this is not the daughter we raised. What do we do? Life from the path, this is not the daughter we raised. What do we do?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like the daughter you raised.
Yeah.
Did you raise her or didn't you?
She was replaced by some robotic person.
I feel like you have a thought process on how you raised your daughter, and you're wrong. That's not how it happened, right? You didn't do as great of a job as you thought.
We raised this one.
Now, hold on. Is that true? Like, I mean, you can't. It doesn't matter. You're the greatest parent in the world. They can rebel against
you. That's true. I don't know. I think you got to stick your guns here.
We give her the boot?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tough love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give her the boot. You're not doing any favors.
Let's try it out. I will be the daughter. Boova, you will be the tough love parent.
Okay.
Hi, I'm going to go do the drugs and post it on the Facebook. What up?
You need to be out by the 20th.
Well, I have nowhere to go, Dad.
I don't care. You're spending your money on stupid things.
Where is this coming from?
The basement, obviously. That's where you're at.
Oh, my self-esteem is broken.
I care less.
Okay, I'll be out.
There you go.
Yeah, that went pretty well. Yeah.
That's tough love, Boova. I like it. Yeah, I got three jobs just because I feel so bad about myself.
What if 5 days?
Now, what if you get to the point and she literally has nowhere to go? She's going to stand outside in your yard and stare at the house.
Hey, that takes fortitude. Yeah, at least she's
must be cold out there, sweetie. She's
sticking to her guns, you know. You can throw popcorn at her once in a while.
Snow's coming.
Yeah, fight the birds. You know.
We gave you a blanket. You're fine.
I put a little insulation in the doghouse. Good luck.
You make it back there. You're okay.
I mean, you
if
kick her out.
If she literally had nowhere else to go,
right.
That would just not, I wouldn't do it. But otherwise, you are an enabler.
Boy, that'd be hard to kick your own daughter out. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it wouldn't be easy. It wouldn't be hard. But Boo's right. You got to boot them.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll come to their senses. You want to hear what Secular says?
Yep.
Secular says, your letter raises more questions than I can answer. Why did your daughter drop out of college? Does she have a job? Where's her money going if she's not saving it or contributing to the household?
Drugs.
Does she have a drug problem? Emotional problems? If this isn't the girl you raised, there has to be reason for it. Rather than hating her for her behavior, I agree, that's a bit strong.
Yeah.
What you should be doing is finding what's causing it. You know what's not helping? Her still living here.
Right. I think you can give her the boot, but not necessarily make it so that she's not your daughter anymore. You just are no longer enabling her.
If given the same situation, I feel like I would be willing to kick one of my kids out if I had to. And I would I'd invite them back for dinner the next night.
Right.
Like they're not my kids. I'd probably check up on them. I'd probably buy them gift cards for a grocery store to help them buy food. Like it's just something to shake them up a little bit, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that sounds wrong. Yeah. But
they're never going to change as long as they know that they have a safety net. A place to stay. But if they know that you're serious and are giving them the boot, that's a slap with reality, and that's what needs to happen.
Well, and it's a natural consequence, right? I'm not creating excessive consequences so that my kid sees the world other than what it is. The natural consequence to not having a job or not saving money or not spending it on appropriate things is that you do not have a place to live.
Right.
Like at some point, that's the natural consequence of life. And I'm not sure that it's your job to shield them completely from natural consequences. They most certainly won't be able to handle them later on in life if they don't have a good perspective as to what they are. You can buffer that a little bit. Like it's not like you don't have to throw them into the shelter. Or let them starve out in the lawn and say, now you're learning your lesson, doofus. But, I mean, I don't know. I think that to a certain extent, the more you are doing sometimes your kids a disservice by shielding them from the natural impact of things.
I think there's a lot of steps that could have been taken before you just kick them out.
Give an example.
You know, like having them, I don't know if she doesn't have a job, having her do things around the house to earn her keep.
How old is she again?
College.
She's dropped out of college. College.
So, I mean, she could clean the house and cook the meals. You know, even if you buy the food, she could do those sorts of things. And then if that fails, you know, you've got another step in the process of her, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't suppose you want to go right to chucking them.
No, it doesn't seem like they have. In this situation, they've talked about the fact that they've given her a deadline. She's not taking it seriously. And that she's failed on multiple occasions. And her attitude is causing a rift in their relationship. So it seems like this is a drawn-out process. This isn't like, hey, she moved in a week ago. We're going to boot her out next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Moving on.
Thanks, Mike.
Dear Life of the Path. This one's weird. I was invited with four close friends to a goodbye tea at the request of a dying friend. Her four children were hostesses and had issued the phone call invitation the day before. My friend is still alive. Is it necessary and proper to write a thank you, and who do I send it to?
What?
Wait, for the tea specifically?
Yeah, I
send it to the kids. Thanks for arranging this event in honor of your mother. I'm sure it was a lovely day. The end.
That the mom is still alive, she'd say.
Well, good. Thank God.
Well, the mom didn't do anything, though.
Yeah.
It was the kids.
Yeah, send
jeez,
it.
Booba.
I'm just saying. If the
she's
kids
dying.
The,
what do you want
if
from
the
her?
Kids were the ones who organized it, mom doesn't need the thank you card. It's the kids.
Yeah. I would send it to the kids and say thanks for doing this.
What
it
if
was
you just said
event?
Thank you when you left? Is that enough? Do you really got to send a card out?
No.
I think this person feels obligated to send a card, and therefore we need to give them the advice to where it goes.
Yeah,
that's weird, because I never feel obligated to do things I don't understand. Like, if I didn't understand how to write the thank you card, it would never occur to me to write one. So it just seems weird.
Mike, I want you to throw a birthday party for me, and then I want you to receive all the thank you cards.
That would be great. You are so welcome, family. Absolutely.
Thanks, Mike, for throwing this great birthday party for Troy.
That's no problem.
He's still around, but we wanted to say thank you to you.
Yeah, he's not saving money, and I've given him a deadline to get out of this house.
What do we do?
He don't listen.
Yeah, I don't see why this is a problem at all. Send it to the kids. Tell them thanks for putting the event together. It was lovely.
What's Secular's advice on it?
Secular says, write a short thank you note to the person who called you. If your friend is still well enough to understand it, write another one to her, expressing that you appreciated being able to spend the time with her and that you were honored to have been invited. That's what I would do.
I wouldn't write it to the death.
Why?
To Death House. I would rather write it outside of the event. Because if you're responding to the event, it makes it feel like that's the only reason you wrote her a letter. Mm-hmm. But if you got one out of nowhere that just said, hey, I'm glad to have been part of your life, now I know that you're on the death. I feel like that says a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. That just seems like an odd situation
this
altogether.
This whole thing is weird.
Yeah. Goodbye, tea.
Okay.
I had no idea what that was before I called
the day before, though? Like, that's, I mean,
yeah, that's true.
You've put someone in a really rough spot. It's like, hey, my mom's dying, and we're doing this goodbye tea. It's tomorrow.
It's Earl
cancel,
Grey.
Cancel anything
cancel
you have.
Everything you
like,
have.
If I can't make it, even if it's something like medium grade, right? I'm not having surgery, but, you know, my kid's got a... in the T-ball playoffs or whatever, and I said I'd be there.
You're going to seem like a jerk.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, that's a rough thing to do and not give people time to plan. You've put them in a real bad spot. Well, you know, it's all right if you don't come. I mean, really? Everyone's going to talk about the guy that didn't show up to the death tee.
The death tee.
I'm just saying.
That's awful.
That's, unless they're, like, dying of something that's going to happen directly, I feel like you got to try your best to give people some time.
Yeah.
Maybe she just took a turn for the worst.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You got time for one more here?
Yeah. All
right. Dear Life from the Path. My in-laws double dip everything. During a holiday get-together, a family member stood eating out of a pot. Now my mother-in-law informs me her daughter allows her dog to eat off the plates, but she uses a dishwasher, so I shouldn't worry about germs.
Oh yeah.
How do I handle this? I can't eat there again.
Why not?
What?
Wait a minute. Like the dog licks the plates and then she uses the dishwasher?
Well,
that seems fine.
And apparently,
what's wrong with that?
This one guy was standing up eating out of a pot.
Okay, so she
Jimmy,
has,
get away from that cheese pot.
She has a example
but
of one guy
up
that
pot.
Does it. So she wait. What was the
I'm
relationship
totally doing
to
that
this
in my
guy?
Next family deal.
It's the in-laws.
Yeah. Okay. So she's got an uncle that's a slob. Like that's all she's saying.
That comes with every family.
The dog thing is irrelevant.
Everybody's got that guy. I'm that guy.
Hey man, I don't know how you could ever go out to eat. I don't know what you think goes on with them plates back at the restaurant, but like...
That's true.
Terrible things happen to the plates, and then little kids lick them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they fall on the floor. They fall behind the dishwashing cabinet forever. All they do is put them through the dishwasher and serve them to you.
I've specifically been a dishwasher. I didn't go above and beyond with, like, four levels of cleaning on every one of the plates. I'm going to be 100% honest with you
looks
guys.
Looks better than it did when it came in.
Yeah, exactly. There's no longer specks of food on it. I can't see any dirt.
You better hurry it up back there, Booba. Just need some more elbow grease, boss. It's a little lasagna sticking on it. Hey, man, some pudding. Yippity-yip.
Yeah.
It's a good day to be Booba.
That looks delicious. I'm not cleaning that plate with a dishwasher. That's all me. Dinner.
Yeah, if you're seriously trepidatious about eating this plate because a dog licked it, you're a fool. I don't know what you think happens in the world. If you go to McDonald's, you're a fool, right?
I mean, what is it? If the dishwasher isn't enough, what is that like? That sink full of dirty crud water that your grandma washes stuff in? Like, is that much better?
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm okay with the hand scrubbing as long as it sat in with 18 other dishes that also had a bunch of crap on it and soaked that up for a while. Then I feel much better.
I think most people just look at a dish and say, it doesn't have anything on it right now. That means it's clean.
Looks pretty good. Here's the deal. Like, if you go to any fast food restaurant, you see the guys that face the customers, gloves on. The guy in the back, bread and tenderloin?
No gloves.
Nope. 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 Sir.
He's going to put some gloves on to serve your food, but that's it.
Yeah. That net he has around his beard is only for show. He takes it off when he gets in the back.
Yeah.
He's like, they can't see me now.
Because the pepperoni hangs on it.
I've seen him walk by the employee's wash hand sign and giggle.
Serves you right.
I won't be working here for long. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't pay me enough to wash my hands.
Here's the deal. If that's your outlook on life, you're literally going to have to stay home and eat only off silverware you bring with you.
Right. Brand new silverware every time.
I mean, that guy with the pot thing, that's just kind of funny. And I would tell that story later
as comedy,
you know?
You're listening live from the pad. Thanks for hanging out with us here. We will see you next week if you're on 99.3 KTIA. If you're listening on the podcast, hang out just a moment. We got some more advice and the best and worst of Live from the Pad from 2013. Thanks for listening. We should work this up a cappella, fellas. I'm only half joking on that. We gotta get that worked up. That's awesome.
Hey, you're out if that's what you're gonna do.
Hey, man, I'm good.
Nobody's doing that.
I threw that in there.
Mike was like, hey, man, this track good, but what it needs...
I'm tracking.
Little Mac.
He's just a little mouth harp. Yeah. give some candy.
Hold on. Let me put the Quincy Jones on it. Here's a secular's answer. Eat before you go and go as infrequently as possible. That way when you walk in and see Uncle eating out of the pot, you can say... Yeah, man, I already ate.
He goes, that's cool.
Is he eating out of all the pots? I mean, can't you just not eat the liquid cheese or whatever?
All I can do is see the guy in a train conductor hat tilted sideways going, I love company potatoes.
See, for some reason, I got the thought of him with like a ladle on some nacho cheese. like pouring it
dude
in on
takes
himself.
A roll and then dips it in the mashed potatoes. And exactly. That's what he gives
him. He's drinking the nacho cheese and he goes, what are the chips for?
This cheese is great on its own. Don't need no chips. Best Thanksgiving ever, Grandma. Hey, Grandma.
You got any pudding on a plate? Reminds me of college.
This turkey's silverware, right?
Yeah, this is excellent. Hey, Grandma! Where's the pudding? This ladle's looking awfully empty.
Wait, so what was the advice?
It was eat before you go, and then don't go over very often.
Oh, right. Like, that's not going to come off as obvious. Hey, every time Jenny comes over, she's already eaten, even when she's over for dinner.
Yeah. Jenny, you already ate? Yeah, I don't really like your cleaning practices. And Uncle Jim Bob creeps me out.
Yeah. I saw the dog lick the plate.
Brought you guys some new dish detergent, because that doesn't look right.
Yeah. What if you just brought your own dishes?
Oh, how rude would you look if you bring over paper plates and are just like, hey, man, we don't trust your plates.
Bring your own plates and bring pills with it and say, I got a problem. They're not real pills. They're placebos, right? But be like, hey, I got a thing. The doctor's trying to help me out with it. Until I get past it, I'm bringing my own plates. Cool.
So you're lying to your family about a condition you might have, bringing your own plates.
No, you can do this without lying. You just bring the vitamins over or whatever. Get some sugar pills, whatever it is, and just say, yeah, I got something going on. I got to take these, and I just brought my own plate. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
No, that makes no sense.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Hey, when they ask about it, say, I'd really rather not discuss it.
Yeah. It has to do with the loin area.
Do you know where the loins are?
I may have overgirded.
I can't tell if I undergirded or overgirded. Can you tell me what the loins are?
Jim Bob on the cheese goes, I had that problem.
I can show you how to gird the loins.
Actually, I'm down to one.
Uncle Jim, you stay away from me.
Okay, that's a big bummer all the way around. Let's see, hold on.
I'm totally going to do this in my next family deal. I really want them to not invite me back.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, for 17 years, I've been using the same hairstylist, Marietta. Marietta's in parentheses. Because she does great cuts and color. She's married to my cousin Gil, but not for long. They are divorcing. Gil's mom suggested I find a different stylist, but when I did, I had horrible results. I returned to Marietta and took her several appointments to fix it. Some family members are now furious with me for getting my hair done by someone who is soon to be a relative's ex. I look at it as a business. I like what Marietta does for me. We never discussed the divorce. Family is now demanding an apology, and I don't think I owe one. I haven't been close to any of these people in years. Must I say I'm sorry to distant family and discontinue Marietta's services? Or should I say nothing and continue my professional relationship with her? My roots are beginning to show again, so please answer quickly.
You obviously don't care that much about this family. Like, you really don't. So why are you even asking this question? It's a business. Go to her. Go. She's good at doing something.
Go to her. Go to Marietta.
Go to her.
You guys made business. This creepy. Go to Marietta. Go to her.
I beg
Get your hair done.
This world means nothing of Gil. It is Marietta alone.
Gil means nothing.
Forget family. You and Marietta.
I feel like Marietta's like trying to hypnotize someone to coming to her. You do not need Gil. Go to Marietta. Come here. Hair done. That's not what I meant. It's creepy.
It's like a weirdo dealer. I slice you up, slab.
Yes, of course lamb meat come in big chunk like this.
Marietta cut hair. Come here.
Don't you know lamb is naturally triangle?
Yeah.
That's how we got on steak.
I don't think that anyone in my in-laws knows where I get my hair cut.
It'd be a little different.
They would if you went to like your uncle's, you know, wife. If you went to your aunt, like, then your uncle would know.
What? Your uncle's wife?
How creepy is it that you go to Marietta and say, shh.
Do nothing of our torn affair.
Hush, Marietta. Do not speak of my roots.
But do it quickly. Before we are found.
I should... This has turned into some hair affair. Hush, hush, Marietta. Tell no one of this.
Do not use the Aquanet. They'll know.
Just change up your cutting a little bit. Mask your signature, Marietta.
Keep my clippings in the back in a sack. Sniff them weakly to remember me.
Were you followed? No.
But how do you know? I know.
Marietta, come in. There's some like, back alley haircut that has to happen.
Gil has tracking skills of polar bear.
Yeah. I'll knock on the pipe twice. It will be me.
What if the answer is no? That's twice on the pipe.
I will be in a blue Honda.
Maybe you should have just stuck with the KTIA broadcast.
Yeah, I may have oversold the podcast.
Okay, so long story short is, who gives a rip where you get your hair cut?
Here's
the thing. Like, if we're looking at, look at this from a Jesus perspective. If you're not going there to gossip about your family, go get your hair cut there. It's not a big deal. It really shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Let's put this in a more weird world example, though. Let's say that I go get my haircut at a certain place, and my wife says, you know what? I don't want you getting your haircut there, even if her reasons are outrageous and make no sense at all. Do you just do it just because? Do you just say, okay, I'll find another place to go? Is she being unreasonable by continuing to go see the gal, when it would be just as easy to say, I'll find another place?
I don't know. I think that might be... Is that a fair situation to throw it into, though? I don't think that's a fair situation at all in comparison to Marietta and
true.
Her situation.
That's true. My wife saying that's going to put an end to it, opposed to, hey, you go to a cousin's ex-wife. That's not quite the same bond, but I don't know.
I mean, okay, so your wife says, hey, I don't want you to go there anymore. Even if she's being outrageous, to avoid a fight, just do it. If it doesn't really mean that much, you just go to a different place.
I don't know. It's hard to find a good stylist for ladies, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Yes.
I hear Marietta is great, though. I'm sorry, I'm done. So maybe it is hard to find a different stylist, and maybe you talk it out with your spouse. But, I mean, I think that just to avoid a fight, yeah, you go to a different place. But in the situation where it's your uncle's soon-to-be ex-wife, I think your family's being a little bit crazy, thinking that you can't support her. She's done this to our family, blah, blah, blah. That's ridiculous. You don't owe them an apology. You obviously don't talk to them that much if they're that distant a family. Don't worry about it. Keep seeing Marietta.
I'd actually kind of want to know why the divorce went down.
That's really...
I suppose it's...
I know. If you find it inconsequential, but I'm petty, and I'd really like to know. Yeah.
Mike, I appreciate you admitting that.
Yeah. So here's what Secular says. Secular says, tell Gil's mother to stay out of your hair. You tried leaving Marietta.
Oh.
It was a disaster. And you plan on using her until the day you curl up and die.
Really? Two hair references in that?
I'm sorry. I don't think we're in the position to be mocking her response.
Hey, man. Our
story,
story was way better.
Go to her. Go to her. Not as, twice on the pipe.
As the world turns. Okay, I think that's what do we got? You want to do the best and worst?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Booba, what do you got?
Man, I knew you were going to call me first. All right. The worst of 2013 goes to Mike Foost. At one point in time, I think I answered a question, starting it out saying the question again, and...
I'm sorry, one time?
I said there was a time. I didn't say it was the only time.
Okay, go continue.
It may have happened quite a bit, but Mike called me out, I think, for a good 2 minutes on the fact that I had answered the question, starting out with saying the question again to stall for time and formulate an answer.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah, you still do that.
I do that, and I apologize if it offends anyone besides Mike, but if Mike's the only one that's offended, I don't care.
It's just annoying. It's not that I'm personally offended by that you do it.
You're annoyed that... Why does it take that much steak?
In fact, I think less of you, now that I think
about
it.
You think less of me?
Yeah, as a person.
Wow. All right.
Is that it? That's the worst?
That's the worst,
man. That was terrible?
Yeah, there's not a lot of bad stuff that goes on here.
We had a... we went to broadcast from a concert. That was a little bit out of town, about an hour out of town, about halfway through the year this year. And we had gotten permission from the venue owner to broadcast the show live on the net. And we're like, heck yeah. We're like, you made sure you check with the artist, right? Oh, yeah, we're good. So we show up there with our ragtag equipment, and I'm like, I'm taping a video camera to a basketball hoop so I can get, like, the best angle for the show. And here comes Johnny Manager come rolling over, and he's like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, no. I said, we're broadcasting the show. He goes, you can't do that. I said, well, why not? You know, long story short, he said, look, we didn't get this approved through the right channels. And he was very gracious about it. He wasn't a jerk or anything, but he was real gracious about it. But it was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
To like have had all the stuff up. We were going to interview all the bands. We were going to broadcast the show. We had promised all this stuff. And it was really embarrassing when I had to take it down and then go hide in our room. And we weren't able to do like half of what we had set up to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it was bad. And actually, the interviews we did turned out really good. But it was just really embarrassing. And like, you guys never saw that. That wasn't on tape or anything. But like, the conversations were embarrassing. We kind of feel low rent anyway.
Yeah.
Because we're an internet radio show. And we felt like we had kind of made a little gain because we were going to be able to broadcast some pretty decent Christian bands. And for people to watch for free, and then we failed at that, and like it was just overall kind of embarrassing. Like that was kind of probably the worst part this year for me. And I mean, God redeemed it. We met some pretty cool people that we still keep in touch with a little bit. But you know, it was embarrassing. It was pretty embarrassing. I didn't like that part.
All right.
Actually, so that particular event was one of my high points because of the interviews. Like we got to and we never posted these because the audio turned out real crappy. But like I was looking for. I'd like to transcribe them, but we got to talk to Tim Timmons and Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band, and
the lead singer for Building 429.
And the lead singer for Building 429. And like all those guys were just awesome. Like the interviews were very cool. They were very cool guys. We got to talk to them a lot. Tim Timmons was just fun.
Yeah.
To talk to. And we had like a legit interview for maybe 15 minutes, and then we probably talked to him for another half an hour after that, kind of just hanging around, shooting the breeze, and. And that was just a very cool night.
It was,
and that's one of my tops of 2013 is kind of that, and that's like broadly that's probably been the deal. Is some of the special events we do, like the Christmas from the Path thing, was really fun. Getting to know, like, so we've had some really great talent in this year that have come in on the show, and that's been a lot of fun too. There's just been a lot of folks that when Silverside came in, we barely got those guys. They were in town, and we had another band booked that night. Mm-hmm. And they came in at like a 9 o'clock, and we recorded an interview with them for maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, just prior to the next show starting, and they were very interesting, very like a ton of fun to have in. They did a great job, and so like we just met a lot of cool people this year, and that's probably the tops. But that I don't know, just spending time shooting the breeze with Tim Timmons, that was pretty fun. That was before like his CD was released. I mean, it's not. I mean, he's great, but it's not anything tied to like how well he's doing. He was just a cool guy.
Yeah.
And his story was cool. His heart for Christ was awesome. And I really like to get those transcribed and out to read for you guys to look at, because they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was good. Booba, did you have a highlight?
Yeah, absolutely. I have two, and one of them may seem super lame, but in general, the growth that I've had personally because of the show in the last year. I know that we call the show Low Rent quite a bit, and we make fun of it a lot, and just that's just how our humor goes. But in all honesty, it's definitely something that means a lot personally to me, that I get to come out of here and I get to spend time with you guys, and I get to spend time going through the Dear Abbeys and the Deuteronomy Dans and the Secular Verse Solomon, and I actually get to grow personally in my relationship with Christ because I get to hang around with you guys. And I really appreciate that and all the advice that I've gotten from the show and all the advice that I've given that was wrong that I was eventually corrected on. That's helped me out a lot. For a more specific portion, seeing the kids at the Christmas from the Past show was one of the coolest things. I've just seen a bunch of little kids just dance around and having fun, and a bunch of people just digging on some Christmas carols and really digging on some Christmassy worship to God. It was really cool. That was probably my specific highlight of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I kind of agree. My highlight is probably an overall highlight, but this has been true of the show since it started, actually, is what I really like about the show, and it's been especially true over the last year, is I get to ask real questions that would generally embarrass most Christians to ask. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain say, like I've had discussions with people at work. I can't remember what it is we were talking about. We were talking about something, and they're like, whoa, you know, you can't talk about stuff like that, or you can't discuss that. Won't people think less of you? Or are you sure you're a Christ follower? Are you sure you're a Christian with the way like you're talking? And I'm like, hey man, what? We were just having an honest conversation, you know? And like, I can have honest conversations that most religious folks are afraid to ask because it's going to make them look bad. But I think the truth of the matter is if you're willing to have those conversations, the only reason you'd be willing to have those is because you want to find the answer out more than your own self, I don't know, appearance of what people yeah. think of you. You know what I'm saying? And like, I think this show gives a really good opportunity to be able to ask honest questions without feeling like you're surrounded by people that got it all figured out or people that will think less of you for asking. I'd rather have you say, hey, I have tattoos and now I've come to know Jesus. How's God feel about that? We can talk about that. You're fine, yeah. dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And I mean, it's little issues like that or weird stuff like that where people refuse to join the body of Christ because of one stupid conversation they had with an uptight deacon when they were 10. And like, that just absolutely kills me. They're like, the church I used to go to, if you didn't wear a suit, then, you know, they bought you a suit when you were 12. Otherwise, you weren't allowed in the building. If you didn't have a suit, then you weren't allowed. And I'm like, man, that's terrible. You know what I'm saying? But what I want to answer, what I like to talk about is why that's no good. Not just that, hey, it's different from me. I wear jeans and a t-shirt. That's cool, you know? That's not what I'm saying.
Some guys can rock a suit, man.
Yeah, some people can totally rock a suit, right? Can't. Like, but it's the reasoning on why that action doesn't represent Jesus. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm not so interested in talking about people and how they fail. I'm more interested in talking about is Jesus and what he wants to adopt you into, right? And I think we can have that conversation and go through the nuances and the lifestyles and the questions, and there's really nothing embarrassing, even if it's your past sin, because it's things that God has redeemed you from. And I find that to be more true as I get older, that the things that I've done in the past, they are embarrassing. They're things I'm ashamed of. There's things I'm embarrassed of. There's things that I wouldn't want to tell everybody. But if I think it will further your relationship with Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now what I did, and I'll tell you right now what God saved me from, right? And I feel like that's a more honest conversation, and I think what I had a really good time this year is going through some of that stuff. Yeah. Talking about some of the stuff that people are like, I don't know if I'd want everybody knowing that. I'm like, I'd rather have you know it and know what Christ redeemed me from than do you think that God's work can only help people who are just kind of little messed up. You know what I'm saying? Full-blown messed up. That's where God does work. So anyway, I think my pro for this year is actually almost the entire year of very honest conversations with even with the guests that we had in and just amongst the regular hosts. But I think it was a really good year for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
And we did what's it called? The 50 proofs this year. Was that all this year? Was half last year?
No, it was last year, yeah.
Yeah. We wrapped up our 50 proofs that God was imaginary. And that actually was a pretty good growing period for me because I actually went through the guy's website, the 50 proofs that God is imaginary.com, I think.
Yeah.
And I went through and tried to answer them before we'd answer them, and the discussion turned way different than I had it. And like, it just opened my mind a little bit up to where I tended to fall and where things were. I thought, man, he's got a pretty good point. God does sound imaginary the way he explains it. And,
yeah.
And we straightened it out by the end, and I was convinced, but that's the part I really liked.
Cool.
Wait, did I give a low point? I didn't.
No,
give
you
a
gave
point.
A high point. You didn't give a low point. Let's end on a negative.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know that I have a ton stuff that, like, some of those events didn't go as well as we'd wanted to. Like, we wanted to. There was a couple things that we said we would broadcast from, and we went to broadcast from them, and they're just. Like, it just didn't work out very well. Either we didn't have the agreements from the band to do it, or we didn't. Technology wasn't cooperating very well. We've run into that a couple times, and that's just disappointing because we spent the time to go out there and try to do something good with that, and it didn't go very well. And that was disappointing. I was actually disappointed to be away from the show for a while. Like, when I was in the Philippines for like 6 weeks, and that was just weird. It was weird to not be there. And so it wasn't a low point because everything was kind of fun, but it was certainly something I missed when I was gone.
I'm pretty sure it was a low point for the show for you to be gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah, pretty sure that was ouch.
Yeah, it was all the truth though, Bubba. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I can't argue with that. So here's my deal. So I feel bad now because I was expecting me to make that crack about Mike being my low point, and I was expecting one of you guys to call me the low point, but now I just feel like the jerk.
No, yeah, that's an accurate feeling that you should let sink in. And hopefully it will change your ways later.
There we go.
How embarrassing for you.
It's never a good lie from the path without Mike saying change your ways to me.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to end the show on we're going to do one quiz. And I chose the one that has done the on the average, people have done the poorest.
Ooh.
So the average score on this quiz is 49%.
Let's see if we can beat it.
It's been taken 14,000 times.
Yes.
Okay? Let's see if we can do better than that. Category is Bible general. This quiz is secrets in the Bible.
Okay.
Secrets in the Bible. Here you go. Number one. What was the secret message that Ehud had for King Eglon of Moab?
English.
49%, eh? What was the secret message that Ehud had for King Eglon of Moab? One.
Okay.
Elisha would be able to heal his leprosy. Two, bread would be for sale the next day in Samaria. Three, there were 185,000 Assyrians heading right towards them. Or D, he took a dagger that he had strapped to his thigh and thrust it into the king's stomach. I'm pretty sure that did happen to Eglon. I think he was the guy that got stabbed.
I think it's D.
Yeah, I think it's D.
Yeah. Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. Two. I'm pretty sure he was the guy that got stabbed. I don't know that it was that particular circumstance, but I guess we'll see. Two, what did the prophet Amos say that the Lord will do without revealing it to his servants, the prophets? One, everything. B, raise the dead. C, send his son back to the world. Or D, nothing. What did the prophet Amos say that the Lord will do without revealing it to his servants, the prophets?
What were the options again?
A, everything. B, raise the dead. C, send his son back to the world. D, nothing.
I know it's not C. Let's go B.
Raise the dead?
Yeah.
Mike?
It's a... Yeah.
Or if it's nothing,
yeah,
it's D. That would be nothing. D.
Yeah, D.
I think it's nothing.
A. Yeah.
Everything? A is everything. D is nothing.
And B is raise the dead.
You think it's he would?
I'm going to say he has the ability and the option to not tell them a thing if he doesn't want to.
The prophet Amos said that God will. So if I have to put it in context, I would say Amos said that God will do everything without revealing it to his servant, the prophets.
Now, that's not true because Malachi was a prophet, and Malachi predicts Christ like nobody's business.
The very existence of a prophet means that everything can't be right.
It's got to be D, nothing.
I think it's nothing. We'll see. Let's try nothing.
All right. Okay. Now that we went through it, that makes a lot more sense.
You want to be a real dingus. Three, where did Job ask God to hide him until his anger was past? In a cave, in hell, in the grave, in the secret place of the Most High.
Hell. I don't know.
Can you ask it one more time?
Where did Job ask God to hide him until his anger was past? In a cave, in hell, in the grave, in the secret place of the Most High.
I'm going to say C.
In the grave?
Yeah.
I'm going to say D.
In the secret place of the Most High? You're the tiebreaker.
I said
you're with B. Shoot.
I feel like hell would be easier.
Sheol, hell is not specifically referenced in Job. I know that.
Sheol is referenced bunch of times.
Sheol's different than hell, isn't it? Like, it's the way they looked at it, they thought it was just a place of darkness and not a hell as described by Jesus. Is that right?
Most of the time, yeah, I think the interpretation is that they use that. That's different or distinctly from what we would otherwise say hell.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a secret place, Most High.
What was A?
In a cave.
A.
Did you say A?
No, I said B.
In hell?
No.
Or the grave?
The grave, C.
You guys didn't make this very easy, so I'm the tiebreaker. I'm going to say that he said, hide me. Yeah, secret place in the Most High. 4, the secret of the Lord is with them that keep the law, and he will show them his mercy. Fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Trust in him, and he will hide them in their day of trouble. Love him, and he will pour out his blessing on everything they do. The secret of the Lord is with them that keep the law, fear him, trust in him, or love him.
Fear him. Got to be B.
I'm agree with
and
that.
He will show them his covenant?
I don't know.
Trust in him. Which one's that?
Trust in him and he will hide them in their day of trouble. That I'm leaning towards that one.
Man, Proverbs is just chock full of the fear of God. Is a fear of the Lord.
To show them his covenant is weird wording, though.
I'm going to say B just in case.
B.
Okay. I'm going with C. me and Jared Paul agree on C. All right. 5. Psalm 91 starts with the words, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall...
Dang it. That really makes it sound like that Job answer's wrong.
Shall gain great knowledge and understanding, abide under the shadow of the Almighty, inherit eternal life, prosper in everything that he does.
I'm going to go B.
Abide under the shadow of the Almighty?
Yep.
A.
Gain great knowledge and understanding?
A.
Yeah, I think I like gain great knowledge and understanding.
Whatever.
You know what the first three letters of BOOVA are? Boo.
Wow.
It come to me.
That's how life goes down. Number 6. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, whether it be intentional, whether it be accidental, whether it be edifying or not, whether it be beneficial to the body or not.
C.
Whether it be edifying or not.
I'm going to go B.
Intentional or not, or accidental?
Crap, I was going to go with good or evil.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards good or evil. Let's go with good or evil. 7, Proverbs tells us about a woman who says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. To whom is she speaking? The wealthy, the wicked, the wise, or those who lack understanding?
Wicked.
Proverbs tells us about a woman who says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Is she speaking to the wealthy, the wicked, the wise, or those who lack understanding?
I think it's wicked.
Wicked.
All right, let's go with the wicked. 8, Proverbs. In Proverbs, we are told that open rebuke is better than secret lust, love, admiration, or enmity. Enmity.
Wait, say that again for me?
In Proverbs, we are told that open rebuke is better than secret lust, love, admiration, or enmity.
Secret love.
Open rebuke.
Yeah, I'll say it like Boova did. Secret love.
Hold on.
Secret love.
That was good.
That's what you want to do? Open rebuke is better than secret love?
No, that don't sound right.
Yeah.
Admiration?
I just want to say love.
Secret admiration? No.
Secret enmity?
Enmity?
Enmity.
Enmity means against, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open rebuke
would be better than secret?
Right. Yeah, let's go with enmity.
Okay, here we go. By the way, you're taking a quiz. We're trying to round up the show here with seeing how well we know the Bible. This quiz is about the secrets that are in the Bible. Traditionally, everyone has done poor on this. 49% is the average score. We'll see if we can beat that. 9, at Jesus' trial, the high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. What did Jesus tell him that he had said in secret? Everything that he had taught the disciples privately, the hour of his return, secret things that are only known to God, or nothing?
Oh,
that's a very odd way to word what you're saying.
At Jesus' trial, the high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus told him what did Jesus tell him that he had said in secret? Everything that he had taught the disciples privately, the hour of his return, secret things that are only known to God, or nothing.
I'm going to go A.
None of those things seem familiar to me.
No.
I'm leaning at nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. A.
What was nothing? A?
D.
Yeah, let's go with D.
D.
All right, the second epistle of Peter tells us there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive opinions. They will even deny the master who bought them. What is the consequence of this? They bring swift destruction to themselves. They lead the church astray. They are put out of the church until they repent. They are cast into outer darkness.
One more time, what was the question?
The second epistle of Peter tells us there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive opinions. They will even deny the master who bought them. What is the consequence of this? A, they will bring swift destruction on themselves. B, they lead the church astray. C, they are put out of the church until they repent. D, they are cast into outer darkness. I think it's they lead the church astray.
Yeah, B.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll see what happens on that one. Two more. In his letter to the Ephesians, this one's rough, man. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul tells them, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But, A, you are in the light, little children, and the blood of Christ cleanses you. B, you can be filled with the Spirit of the Most High God. C, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. D, God will reveal every work to judge it, whether it be good or bad.
C.
Everything exposed by light becomes visible. Yeah. Okay, final one. Here we go. 12, Herod secretly called for the wise men to him. What did he want to know? Do you know this without the options?
Yes.
What is it?
He wanted to know where the birth of Jesus was.
Where Jesus was. Where the Christ had been born. So it's got what gift he should take to the king, where the Christ had been born,
right,
the exact time when the star had appeared, which way they planned to return to the country from which they came.
What gift to bring to the king?
What?
That was his ploy. I want to know what gift I should bring.
No.
He didn't ask what gift.
Uh-uh. Yeah, I want to provide a gift
and
for
he
him.
Asked where. Where
he said to go and then come back. That way he could tell him where he was going to go.
Well, wait a minute. He had the where. The where wasn't the wise men. The where was the count. Was the Jewish guys.
I want to know what gift to bring.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
See if it was a king or not.
Hello, three people that said Mike is dumb. There's no way he's read the scripture.
Is it the gift though or the time?
I don't know. I'm just.
How did he get the time? I think it's the time. When did you see the star?
Wait, was he talking to the wise men?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about like 3 years, right?
Two years?
But
yeah,
so
yeah.
He wants to know when.
Yeah, I think he wants to know when.
He wants to know when.
I think it's the time.
That's what I said. When?
When?
Yeah. Oh, boy. We're going to
say anything.
This, those are one of this one's 50%. This is terrible.
We might have stunk this one up. All right, let's take a look at it. Here we go.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, I see a lot of incorrects on here.
75% maybe.
Okay.
75%.
Number one, what was the secret message that Ehud had for the king Eglon of Moab?
Stab.
We said he took a dagger and he strapped to his thigh and thrust it to the king's stomach. That is correct.
Hoo-ah!
Question two, what did the prophet Amos say that the Lord will do without revealing it to his servants, the prophets? We said nothing. That is correct.
Yep.
Question three, where did Job ask God to hide him until his anger was passed? Boo, what did you say?
Cave. No, I said...
In the grave?
In the grave.
We said in the secret place of the Most High. That is not correct. The correct answer is in the grave.
Thank you very much.
In the grave. Question four. The secret of the Lord is with them that, we said, trust in him, and he will hide them in their day of trouble. That is incorrect. The answer is fear him, and he will show him his covenant.
Now, wait a minute. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's what we said to begin with.
No, you disagreed. I said fear is in Proverbs, and everyone was against me.
Hold on.
Point for Mike.
No, I agreed with you.
Three for Mike, none for Buva.
I have one.
Boo.
I got the grave one, the Job one right.
Hold on. Yeah, so, Psalm 25:14.
Wait, you got the Job one right and you didn't?
Yeah.
Well, okay, he said, Psalm 20. So, if you, in the ESV, it says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. It read here, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me I'm right in more than one way, Ben.
I was right.
Just one way is fine.
All right, Psalm 91 starts with the words, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I feel like Buva might have had this one too. We said gain great knowledge and understanding. That is incorrect. The correct answer is abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yep, I had that one correct.
Way to go, Boo.
Number six, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be, we said, good or whether it be evil. That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. Question seven, Proverbs tells us about a woman who says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in a secret secret is pleasant. To whom is she speaking? We said wicked. Seemed pretty confident about it, too. That is incorrect. The answer is those who lacked understanding. Known as the John Buva of the Bible.
That actually makes sense.
The John Buva of the Bible, really?
Why are you so incredulous? Do you not understand what he said?
Oh,
man. In Proverbs, Buva really had this one. In Proverbs, we are told that open rebuke is better than secret. We said enmity. Buva said love, and that is correct.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah. Late night, smooth jazz love.
Hey, man, if we'd have listened to Buva, we'd have been in a lot better shape right now.
Well, he missed quite a few.
Yeah, I missed quite a few.
Number nine, at Jesus' trial, the high priest asked Jesus about his disciple and his doctrine. What did Jesus tell him that he had said in secret? We said nothing, and that is correct.
Number 10, the second epistle of Peter tells us there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive opinions. They will even deny the master who bought them. What is the consequence of this? We said they lead the church astray. That answer is incorrect. The correct answer is they bring swift destruction on themselves. Two more. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul tells them, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But your but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. It was our answer, and that is correct.
Yay.
Number 12. Herod secretly called for the wise men to him. What did he want to know? We said the exact time when the star had appeared. That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
Hey, man, we did better than 50%.
Here's what's weird. There's only 12 questions. It says the quiz has been taken 14,848 times since March 3rd, 2005. The average score for the quiz is 49%.
It's impossible to get 49%.
Right. We answered a total of 6 out of 12 questions correctly. We got 50%.
Yeah.
Yay.
We'd have gotten 3 more right if we'd listened to Bouvon and Proverbs, actually.
If we'd listened to Bouvon on some of his other ones, we'd have missed another 4. Something to think about.
Ooh. That's true.
Pick up 3, lose 4. You're an overall net loss to the show.
I agree. I won't disagree with that comment.
You're
negative. Thanks for having me on, guys.
How is that possible?
I don't know why you guys tolerate me.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. Make sure you check out the... Well, half you're listening to the show, I don't really care. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Life from the Path.
See you next year.